We're slowly working our way through a series called Crossing Over, so thus the bridge, crossing over the river. So what we're using it for is basically helping us to understand in our own life, we need to cross over or cross from here to there to grow in our spiritual life. So there's steps we have to take. So today, what I wanted to start out with is having you guys think about what is an impossible task or something impossible that happened in your life. Maybe like you were told that you had a sickness or a disease or something chronic that is just constantly happening to you. Or like Joshua, he was asked to go in and defeat the entire Canaanite army. So basically to him, if you think about what he's thinking in his mind, he's probably, whoa, I can't believe you're asking me to do this, God, with this group of people because they are untrained, they are not soldiers like what we're going up against. So think about in your own life, maybe an impossible task you were asked to do at work, maybe a family member asked you to do something. Anything, like I said, when I was thinking about this, there was a couple things that came to mind, and the first one for me was when me and my wife, we had our oldest son. So at the time, going in to have for him to be born, I'm thinking, oh, no big deal, I'll just go down and eat the free sandwiches, and she'll have the kids, right? Little did I know, I was very clueless. First time I got to hold him, I'm looking at him and I'm just like, oh Lord, I am now responsible for another human being. Because up to that point, everything was about me, right? I think we've all been there. It's just, we only have to worry about ourselves. So for me, that was just like a huge eye opener and just a task that I thought at the time. I'm just like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And for me, God put my wife in my life to basically kick me when I needed to learn something, and then to say, hey, you need to get God into your life to help you grow in your entire life. So at your tables, take a few minutes, talk about an impossible task or something that you feel happened in your life that just seemed impossible at the time, and then we'll come back together and be ready to share a few things. Okay? Go. All right, if we can come back together. So what are some of the things? Who would like to share? What are some of the impossible tasks that you felt like you were given and there was no way humanly possible you were going to be able to deal with it? What are some examples? No one had any? Heidi.
Having a friendship or a positive relationship
with the Yes, that could be very stressful. Yep. And you did it. Good job. What else? Some other task or something you were given? Mike, I don't want to know.
Going to the gym for the first time.
Oh, hey.
That's me.
Okay. Gloria? Mm-hmm. He still hasn't learned, has he? No. Still got to work on him. Okay, one more. Anybody? Yeah. I've never done that, but I can imagine. After 3 hours, okay. That sounds crazy tough. Yep. Okay, so thinking about those tasks and how we dealt with them, okay, because normally we just jump in? A lot of times we don't even think about the fact that where do we go for guidance or who should we go to for guidance, right? We just instantly say, how am I going to do this? And we take off. So think about in the Bible, we're talking about, do you remember Moses' story? So think about what he went through. God told him, I want you to basically take 1.5 million people to 2 million people across the desert and get them to, at the time, Canaan. Okay, or think of Noah. What do you think went through his mind when God said, hey, build this huge ship, right? He's like, yeah, right. You know, what? How am I going to do that, God, number one? And then who am I going to get to even think that I'm somewhat sane when I say we got to do this? So, you know, think of these guys, these biblical characters. They can teach us a lot. But one of the truths I want you to remember as God's children, think about this. So the verse I wanted to show you was Matthew 19:26. So when it says Jesus looked at them, he's talking to his disciples, and he says, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And so when I think about that, and then the song today, at the last song we did today, The Great I Am, really hit me, because it's like, who do we really believe our God is? Can he do what we think is impossible? If we truly believe who he is, all things could be possible. So kind of let that roam around in your mind a little bit. Now, our text today is going to be Joshua 10:28 through chapter 12, verse 24. So if you wanted to turn there, and we'll start working our way through there. But basically, the entire book of Joshua is about moving from here to there, correct? Everything he did, he had to take one step at a time. He may have thought in his mind, hey, God, what in the world are you asking me to do? This is insane. I don't understand this. But with God, if we just try to listen, try to be obedient, and do our best to listen. I think that's the key. We'll learn more about that today as we go through. Listen and do. Anything's possible. So here in our text, you guys have seen this map the last few weeks. Basically, right here, the Israelites cross the Jordan. They set up camp at Gilgal. And then we've been talking about, Pastor Don talked about the central area right here last week, and he talked about thinking about the idea of God asked them to divide and conquer. He didn't just say, go in here randomly and just take this whole area, okay? God said, start here. He started one step at a time, okay? So once they had, the Israelites had completed their task here, they moved to the southern cities, okay? And that's what we're going to talk about today. And once they had completed their task here, they moved up and started with the northern cities that God had asked them to conquer, okay? Now, when we look at enemies in our lives, there can be many different kinds of enemies, correct? Could be spiritual enemies, could be physical enemies, which could be like our, like we talked about earlier, could be a disease or some chronic illness that we're dealing with. So there's a couple different ways we can go with this, but we all have enemies in our lives, okay? So what we need to start realizing is life here, even if we say we're a Christian, the Bible tells us that there will be a battle going on within inside of us, okay? We may only see these physical things going on. We don't even realize all the spiritual fighting that's going on internally in us, okay? So what I wanted to share with you today is just a few enemies that each of us have. And then how would we deal with those, okay? So the first one I want to talk about was the world. So when I say the world, I don't mean the planet itself. I mean our culture, humankind or mankind, okay? The world, tries to conform us to what it tells us is right, okay? So think about in your life, what are the cultural things? It could be fashion, could be pleasures, could be opinions, beliefs. A big one that I always struggled with was when my kids were growing up, I was trying to get them to everything they wanted to do. So, and you guys, I think all parents here know how crazy the busyness of life gets. I never even thought about the fact until later on, they are totally missing all of the spiritual growth in their life that's available to them through youth group, through sitting here on Sunday mornings, because a lot of times we were out traveling to different sporting events. So for me, that was what the world, how it kind of captured me and said, this is what you need to be doing. And it took me a while to realize I can make that a balance, okay? Sports isn't a bad thing. They can still do sports, but how do I get them to both so that what's really important, because in my life, sports, and for my kids, lasted like 5-6 years, right? They graduated. Now they have nothing to do with sports that I'm involved in. So now I'm worrying, did I build correct spiritual truths into them? Okay, so the world can play a huge part in what we believe or what our philosophies are. So that's one enemy that we need to be very careful of. Now when we look at this verse here, James 4:4, what stood out to me was when Joshua, or when James wrote this, he said, you adulterous people. Sounds serious, okay? When God is saying, you adulterous people, it means that when we put the world or the world's philosophies before God, we are being unfaithful to him. So that really, I don't know about you, but for me that stuck. I was like, whoa, I'm being unfaithful to God. Then I'm trying to think, well, how can I make this make sense? And I didn't share this with my wife last night because I didn't want to come with a black eye today. When we talk about being unfaithful, let's say, in my marriage, I went home and I said, honey, I love you to death. I love you. I want to spend the rest of my life with you, living with you, doing life together. But when my ex-girlfriend's not busy, I want to go hang out with her too. Right? So that's the black eye, so that's why I didn't say anything. But so think how God looks at us when we say, God, I love you. I want to give my life to you. I want to trust you. I want to put all my faith in you. But the world says, I need to do this, right? So I'm slowly inching away from God, okay? So clearly when God says, you adulterous people, kind of I pictured it as a line in the sand, okay? And we all have to choose. We can't straddle that line and say, I kind of want to live for God. I kind of want to live for what everybody else is telling me. God's saying, you're either completely with me or you're against me. Okay, so does that make sense as far as one of our enemies? I think all of us can see that, where the world is pulling on us and tugging on us, and we constantly hear things like, you are too soft as a Christian, or you got your head in the sand, you don't want to truly believe that these things are happening. And we're saying, no, we know they're happening. We choose to go to our God, the great I am, that we know can handle this, instead of running out and trying to solve it ourselves. And that's where we all have to be able to get to in our life to the stage where we know where to go when there's a problem that we need to deal with, okay? And that would be God first and foremost. So think about that. So basically, number one, with the world, that's our external pressure on us, okay? Trying to suck us into that. So number two, with our enemies. The second one, the flesh. So when we talk about the flesh, we're not talking about our physical flesh that we see. The Bible is talking about our sin nature inside of us. Okay, all of us, when the fall of man happened, when Adam originally sinned, his sin was inherited by all of us, okay? And that sin nature is inside of us. And so think about, again, that internal spiritual battle. We have this sin nature inside of us. All of our emotions, our thoughts, our behaviors, our actions are all revolving around this sinful nature. Does that make sense? So what we have to realize is we are totally consumed before we ask Jesus into our life, or we would say we put our faith and trust in God, okay? Because at that point, the Holy Spirit moves into our life and indwells us permanently, and then we got this battle in here, if you can picture that. You got your sinful nature, and you got the Holy Spirit inside of you battling it out, okay? The Holy Spirit wants to keep pushing that sin nature out, but we are constantly want to keep, kind of like I showed you with the line, we constantly kind of want to keep getting back into that, our old self. So we have to be very aware of that. Some of the examples would be jealousy, pride, anxiety, anger, lust, any of those things that are like an internal pressure, I would say. So we have to be very aware of that. Number three, the third enemy that we all have to deal with is the devil. So here, I like this picture. When we think about the devil, who was he originally? He was a fallen angel, correct? So do you think that the world is correct? A lot of times we think the devil looks like this red dude with horns, and he's scary, right? Well, from what we know from Scripture, Satan could look very pleasing to us, okay? So when I see this picture, I don't know the correct term, but I would see a lioness. So she's very appealing to, like, the king lion or whoever. So, and plus she's looking very sneaky and crafty and very good at what she does, okay? So she's looking to attack the sick, the young, animals or animals that are struggling. So Satan is the exact same way. He has been doing what he's been doing for thousands of years, so we can't think that we're going to somehow go head-to-head with Satan and be able to defeat him on our own. Okay, so we have to start thinking. We know God. If our God is truly all-powerful, all-knowing, he can push Satan away, okay? So we've got to constantly be aware that when we as humans, when we're frustrated, when we're down, when we're sick, or maybe sometimes even when something really good has happened, we drop our guard. And Satan just slowly sneaks into our life or puts things in our life that we think, oh, this won't be a big deal if I just do this one little thing or sneak away once. It's not going to hurt at all. But what we don't realize is that's just the first step to taking another step away from God. So three enemies there that we all have to deal with: the world, the flesh, and the devil, okay? So at your tables, what I want you to do, take a few minutes, because all of us have something, so don't think so much physical enemies at this point, because we're talking more inside of us, spiritual enemies, at your table, write on the, you can either write it in your program, or you can write right on your brown sheet of paper, what are some definite enemies that you know you are dealing with today, currently, okay? Might just be one, it might be two or three or four things that you know you're struggling with right now. So go ahead and work on those for just a couple minutes and we'll get back together. We have to start thinking to ourselves, okay, how, if I got these enemies I'm dealing with, how and what can I do to start making, let's say, progress and start defeating these, okay? So when we look at Joshua, they had enemies. We know that God gave them specific targets, specific things that they needed to work on, specific steps they needed to take, okay? One military stronghold at a time. And so if we look at our own lives, the Bible is very clear, we'll work through them here, of what we can do to start defeating these enemies in our lives. Now, what we have to remember, and sometimes the world, again, sucks us into this, these enemies we're talking about are very, very real, okay? This is not like video game board games where we, oops, I messed up in life, and I'll get a second chance or I'll get a do-over, okay? These spiritual enemies we're dealing with are very real, and we need to learn how to defeat them and how to take steps so we can do just what we're talking about, cross over, go from here to there, grow in our spiritual lives, okay? So here's a couple. Let's, got three I wanted to go through with you. So number one, if you're in Joshua, let's look at Joshua chapter 10, verse 28. And it says, that day Joshua took Makkedah, and he put the city and its king to the sword and totally destroyed everyone in it. He left no survivors, and he did to the king of Makkedah as he had done to the king of Jericho. Okay, so when we first look at that, we'll be like, oh, there's not much there, but if we really study it, okay, we see the very last sentence there, it said, he, Joshua, did to the king of Makkedah as he had done to the king of Jericho. So there's starting to be a pattern, okay? It's showing us that clear back in Deuteronomy, they were given, the Israelites were given commands to follow about how to deal with all these armies, okay? So here we see Joshua, he's being obedient. He's not just doing his own thing, okay? They've learned from Achan, if you remember the story of Achan of 2 or 3 weeks back, when he decided to do his own thing at Jericho, the Israelites were defeated in their next battle. So we can see here that Joshua is learning and has learned that he needs to be obedient to God. So number one, we would say God wants our obedience, okay? He doesn't, if you think about God, he doesn't need us to be obedient for him to do things. He wants us to be obedient because through doing that, it humbles us. We look at him and we start to learn, I need to rely on God. I got to stop trying to do all these things on my own, if that makes sense. So God wants our obedience. So like I said, here we see Joshua, and as if you read through the rest of the text today, if you read through that this week, you'll see that many times you'll read the exact same thing over and over and over. It'll say Joshua did to whatever king, as he had done to the king before. So we see a pattern. Okay, he's being obedient and he's following it all the way through. He's not partially. He's not saying, well, maybe we'll go up there to this city and maybe we'll fight, but I'm not going to kill everyone, okay? Like he was instructed. So, but we see Joshua following the commands to a T. Now, you have to remember, so the Canaanites were not just people that God wanted to just push out of the way to make room for his people, okay? The Canaanites, clear back in Abraham's time, Abraham had witnessed to them, okay? So if you can think timeline at all, there's hundreds of years between Abraham and now Joshua. So God had basically given the Canaanites hundreds of years to turn from their sin. But instead, they went to idolatry. They went to a lot of immoral things. They basically disgusted God with their sin. And God said, I'm going to use the Israelites to judge you, basically. Okay? So we got to think, because in our life, sometimes we'll say, well, God's asking me to do this, but why would I do that? That makes no sense. We have to, again, remember who is God. If we truly believe he's all-knowing, all-powerful, full of wisdom, do we believe he's smarter than us? I do. So I would think, well, if God's telling me to do this, there must be a reason. So we got to just kind of figure out in life which side of that line are we on again. Are we going to listen to the world, or are we going to say, okay, my God is a huge God, and I'm going to continue to be obedient to him. So number one here is, are you obedient? So be thinking about that. The second thing, we're not going to read through it all, but looking at verse in chapter 10, verse 29 through chapter 11, verse 23, we consistently see that God is giving specific battles for the Israelites to fight, okay? Because if we were to, sometimes you'll look at a map somewhere and you'll be like, man, there's lots and lots of cities, but it said Joshua defeated all, but we never read about them. But in the Bible, what they're saying is God gave them all that they needed to defeat to crush the Canaanites' spirit, if that makes sense. So God knew which military strongholds needed to be defeated so that later on, when the Israelites moved in, the different tribes could then basically go and finish off the battles. But we'll get to that later on in the weeks to come. But today what I want to look at is basically God knows which battles need to be fought. So if we were to look here, I'll just read through a couple. Let's start with verse 29 in chapter 10. It says, then Joshua and all Israel with him moved from Makkedah to Libnah and attacked it. Verse 30, the Lord also gave that city and its king into Israel's hand. The city and everyone in it Joshua put to the sword. He left no survivors there, and he did to its king as he had done to the king of Jericho. And then if we continue on, then Joshua and all Israel with him moved on from Libnah to Lachish. He took up positions against it and attacked it. Verse 32, the Lord handed Lachish over to Israel, and Joshua took it on the second day. The city and everyone in it he put on the sword, just as he had done to Libnah. Okay, so just looking at those verses there, we see that God, and here's how you'll know, we see that God is picking specific military strongholds. Because when we look at one of the examples, when we were when I was over in Israel, we went to Lachish, okay? Now, when you're there, it's basically, if you know what a tell is, so a tell is multiple layers of cities that have been built on top of each other. So say, example would be the first layer, the city gets destroyed, wiped out, it's flattened, somebody comes in, builds another city on top of it, okay? That happens over and over and over and over for thousands of years. And now you have layers of all these different cities, and you have this unnatural looking hill with a flat top. And I don't know if this is a great comparison, but I see it, it kind of reminds me of where we dump our garbage, you know, how it builds up into a giant pile and we just keep pushing it out. So in Israel, they have all these what they call tells, but they're the cities, okay? Layers and layers and layers of cities. So when we were at Lachish, you're standing there and you're just in the middle of basically wide open space and you have this huge mound, okay? So if you think military, stronghold. So first off, they're up 100, 150 feet higher than what we were when we pulled in. So if you're up that high, you obviously have an advantage. They also, if you remember a few weeks back when Pastor Don talked about Jericho, how they would make, they built walls, but they also made the land go like at a 45, so you couldn't just push things up it. It was too much of a, like that. So too steep, basically, same thing. There was also a moat around this. And so just looking at it from a military standpoint, it made total sense. So when we were there, when me and Kevin were there with Pastor Don, what's really noticeable, this is quite a ways ahead in the Bible, but when the Assyrians attacked Lachish, they built a ramp, if you remember that story. And that ramp is there. So it's just like, whoa, you know, you read a Bible story, they talk about this huge ramp. It's there today when you're there. So you can just see kind of physically, this is what the reason that God needed to destroy this military stronghold, because it was one of the main cities. And then the word itself, many people just realized that they started calling Lachish impregnable or invincible because it was such a military stronghold. So we got to think in our own life then, God knows which battles are a priority. So what does that mean to us, right? Because we're like, well, I'm dealing with this. So if God knows, if God is truly all-knowing, he knows what our first step is. So that means we have got to start spending time with him, saying, okay, God, I got, you could say, you know God exactly what I got going on in my life. What is it? What's the very first thing that I need to battle in my life to start moving forward, okay? And all of us, it's going to be something different, okay? Could be depression, could be anxiety, could be, like I said earlier, lust, or it could be the world is, we get sucked into so much gossip and drama that we are not basically doing anything for God because we're just so consumed with ourselves. So we have got to learn to go to God and start listening. Okay, start listening for him to show us what is that first battle, okay? Now, we're going to have to, when I say spending time with God, that means we are going to have to start looking for and being very intentional about making quiet time with him, okay? And it's got to be more than once daily. It's got to be as often as we can. We have got to find a spot, find a place where we can just listen to God, go, read his word, meditate on his word, and listen. And I know that's super hard. We all like, but I got to go to work. When I get home, I got the kids. I got this. I got that. And I get that. But if we're truly going to say God is my go-to, he is the one person that I know I can truly trust and that he knows what's best for me, I think you'll make that a priority. Okay, so number three, God fights our battles. Okay, so we've looked at we need to be obedient. We've looked at God knows which battles, so now God fights our battles. So here we can look at, we just read through this same text, but I just want to pick a couple things out. So in verse, in chapter 10 again, verse 30, it says, the Lord also gave that city. And then if we move down to verse 32, it says, the Lord handed Lachish over to Israel. And if you were to keep on reading through the rest of our text today, at least five times you will see that the Bible says God fought, God gave, God delivered. Okay, so it's showing us very clearly that if God promised he will be there to fight with us, he'll be there. Okay, so we see it over and over and over. God fights our battles. Now, it doesn't mean that the Israelites could just sit in their tent and go, go God, you go get them. I'm just going to stay here and you're going to wipe them out, right? They still had to be obedient, step out in faith. Like I said earlier, they weren't soldiers, okay, but they had a lot of soldiers and armies coming against them. But they still had to step out and do what they were asked to do. So in our life, it's the same thing. We can't just say, God, go get them. He's going to ask for something in return, correct? So he'll say, do this or don't do this. So we need to be listening and be paying attention. So when we're thinking about that again, then I think personally this is almost the most important factor is believing that God fights our battles because we can only win those battles with a God that can do impossible things, okay? So just like God enabled Joshua to do what they thought was humanly impossible, God will do those same things in our lives. So sometimes I think we tend to only look at the physical world. We only believe what we see, or we'll say, that's not possible. Okay, but if we truly believe who God is, and I said this earlier, but if we truly believe that God is all-powerful, all-knowing, just think about these words, everywhere, all the time, faithful, full of wisdom. Shouldn't he be our go-to? Shouldn't he be the person we go to first and foremost? Not, well, I'm going to go check with my friend. I'm going to go call mom, see what she thinks. If we truly believe who God is and that he's greater than any enemy that we have in our life, he should be the person that we go to and depend on. And to do that, it means we have to spend time with him, okay? So we just get sucked into, again, the busyness of the world and we're not spending time discerning God's will. A lot of times when we pray, we're giving him our list. God, help me with this. God, help me do that. Help me do this. We're never taking the time to say, okay, God, you know I'm dealing with this. What do you want me to do? And listen, okay? We're in America, it's our way right now, so we're just quickly, we want that quick answer. And then we say, well, God didn't answer my prayer. Well, maybe he did, you know? Maybe he's saying, just hold on. You need to be a little more patient here. So think about that. So kind of put all these three together. We need to be obedient. God wants our obedience. God knows which battles are our priority, and God fights our battles. So in our life, when we think about this bridge and crossing over, we have to know, okay, God, I don't need to just, and I certainly can't do this on my own, I don't need to just go, I'm going to grow and become just like Jesus, so I'm going to run and jump this whole bridge. No, it's going to be, what's the first step? God, what do you want me to do? And listen, and it may take weeks, may take months, may take years. We don't, that's on God, right? He's helping us. He'll say, take this step, this step, this step. And then me and my humanity, I will fall and roll down that. But God will pick us up, right? He'll say, come on, next step, next step. But it all requires us to be obedient and to spend time with Him learning those battles that we need to fight. So today my challenge is, if we really believe who God is in our life, we need to start living like it. We need to live like we believe God will fight every battle for us. And I think for me personally, that's hard, because I want to just jump in and do it my way. And all of us can really just kind of do a gut check and say, am I truly living like I believe God is all-powerful, all-knowing, full of wisdom, okay? So that's my challenge for you this week. Here's what I want you to do this week. It'd be awesome if this went on beyond this week, but I want you to just start out. So when I mentioned earlier, we all need to find a time to spend time with God, a quiet time, a quiet place, just focusing on God. So number one, try to do that at least once this week, each day, okay? Daily, find a time. You may have to get up early. You may have to stay up late. You may have to, I don't know, skip supper that night or something. But you need to find a time where you can spend with God and pray about, on your table or wherever you wrote your enemies, pray about your enemies and say, God, what is the first battle that you want me to start dealing with? And ask Him, how do I do this? Okay? And we just learned three clear ways from Joshua, being obedient, believing who God is, right? So that's the first part of it. Second part is, once you figured out what you're doing, and you can figure this out however you want, find an accountability person. Somebody here at church, and it doesn't have to be here at church, it can be a friend you have somewhere else. Hook up with that person some way and say, and you don't have to give them all the details of what you're praying for yourself unless you want to, and just say, this week I'm intentionally going to spend time with God praying about something very specific. And then tell them, work this out, say, can I email you or text you when I'm praying so that you can pray for me? Does that make sense? So basically right there is two people praying for you, okay? And if you got some close friends that are willing to jump in with that, you might be able to get three or four people. But just start there this week and see how that changes your prayer life. I think the more time you start spending with God, you realize, you look back and go, wow, I've just been like adding God when I needed Him real quick. I was not actually looking to Him for guidance or depending on Him. Is that making sense? Okay. So each of us can grow in that area. So that's my challenge to you this week as you go out today. So let me go ahead and pray for us, and then Lisa's got some announcements. Father, I just thank you for your truths and your words that you give us that we can use to grow spiritually, Lord. Now, it's a challenge for all of us to be obedient in those areas. We don't always, we We hear the words, but we don't always live them out. And Lord, I just ask that you give us that encouragement and that strength to live out those truths that you're teaching us, or to give us the one thing that we need to defeat those enemies in our life. And I just ask that you work through us this week, Lord, and help us to always be mindful of who you really are, Lord. And just thank you for everything you're doing in and through us. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ryan. A couple things before we leave today.